Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Dynasty Happy Hour. I am your beautiful host, Doug Eddy, and I'm here this evening with my co-host, Tyler Gunther. Tim is nowhere to be found. He's AWOL. I don't know where he went. So it's just you and I, Tyler, tonight. How about that?
It's just the two of us.
We can make it if we tried. We can make a podcast if we tried. Just the two of us.
Not a good start. Not a good start.
What? I like singing.
That's true. Maybe you and Zach Reed can do a singing podcast where it's like you just sing the whole podcast.
I could definitely pull that off. So they actually approached me a couple months ago to be on the Dummies, but my invite must have got lost in the mail.
Oh.
So, Zach, I know you're going to listen. I'm right here, bro.
Here you go. Here's the name. Show. Karaoke Fantasy.
Work. I think there's probably some other names out there that might be not as straightforward.
Well, sometimes you just gotta lay it on the table.
no comment. So yeah, so it's been a crazy weekend for me. I went sailing. I fell in the ocean. I lost my phone. My car wouldn't start. We couldn't get home. That's the short version. It was terrible.
The longer version's even better. So
it was an absolutely brutal Sunday for me. Today is Monday. I'm still mentally recovering. I'm very tired. I've driven a lot. I've been through a lot, but I am still here. And ready to pod with Tyler. What's new with you, Tyler?
Nothing. Went to the zoo today. The good old Minnesota Zoo. And it was awesome.
Oh,
it
was, did they have bears there?
They had bears. I posted a video on Twitter. My daughter was in front of the cage, and this bear would not leave her alone. And we went off to the other side where the bear wasn't swimming, and he got out of the water and followed my daughter to the other side. It was quite funny. But then your father instincts kick in, and you're just like, don't you do it, bear. Don't you do it. I will fight a bear.
Don't you touch my kid, bear. Just drop the gloves and get it out.
It was quite
Tyler
funny.
Wrestling a bear at the Minnesota Zoo. That would be quite hilarious.
Oh, bear wins every time.
Every time. So this week, Tyler and I are going to talk about our Scott Fishbowl teams, and we got some news to go over. There's a few things that have happened that are fantasy relevant this week. But before we do, we just want to let you know that we are brought to you by the Sit or Start Fantasy app, so make sure to check that out on the Google Play Store as well as the iTunes Store. And as always, we are brought to you by the Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit. You can go on ultimatedraftkit.com, use code HAPPYHOUR, save 10%. It's absolutely loaded. Redraft season is upon us. The magazines are starting to hit the shelves. But the beautiful thing about this draft kit, it's not like a magazine. It's going to update in real time. So when Dez Bryant finally signs with a team, it'll be updated. The ranks are always fluid. So they're going to change as things happen here in mini camp, or actually training camp, which is going to start in just 2 weeks. We are very, very close to preseason football. So if you play DFS, that's always fun, because then you can roster players like Lamar Jackson and hopefully make some money. So make sure you check that out. But yeah, ultimatedraftkit.com. It's got all of Matt Harmon's reception perception, videos, ranks, sleepers, bust, the whole nine. All the guys worked really hard on it. So make sure you check out the draft kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. Use code HAPPYHOUR. And Tyler, if you win that league using the UDK, what kind of trophy are you going to get?
Well, you can go to trophysmack.com and find yourself just a boatload. Sorry, Doug. Sorry to bring a boat back. But you can find a ton of trophies to choose from. I'm staring at a 56-inch Vivid football trophy. Silver's got a giant football on it that says Fantasy Champion on it. And it is amazing. It's got all your league plaques, the past winners. And you know what the best part about these trophies are, Doug?
I have no idea, but I bet you're going to tell me.
You can take the top off of it and keep it. So if you won the league and it's a passing trophy, you can take the topper off, purchase a new one for the next year, and then you just keep doing that. That's the great part about these trophies is even if you have to pass that trophy on, you still have a part of it. Your name's on the plaque. Your buddy's going to see the past year's winner, and your name's going to be on the main trophy. But you've got that topper sitting on your desk at home. These trophies are wonderful. And you know what? We just gave away a $60 championship ring with the Falafel House giveaways.
And yeah, we did.
And you can get one of those for free by purchasing a trophy and typing in DHH ring. It's that easy. It's super easy. And you get a free $60 ring. I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and you can hang on to it if you're a commissioner. If you're just like, I deserve this. This is mine. Or if you want to give it to, say, the most points. Somebody who has the most points. And say, okay, here's a ring. You score most points. I mean, there's tons of ways you can pass this ring out. They are amazing, very high quality. A $60 ring for free when you purchase a trophy at trophysmack.com. There'll be a link when you're listening in the information of the podcast below. You can click on that and go get your free ring as well.
Sweet. Make sure you check that out. That's pretty awesome. I like the fact that you can keep the top, because I have a trophy that I've won a couple years in a row. And if I don't win it this year, I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
So having a memento is really, really cool.
Oh,
so.
And but, P.S. Oh, it ahead. Also works for belts. They are getting belts in very soon. I'm talking to them. Belts are like the creme de la creme of trophies.
For my home fantasy league that I'm actually suspending this year, and we're going to come back next year all revamped, I have a fantasy belt. You know what belt I'm going to win? It's going to be the Scott Fishbowl belt.
I don't believe it, because I think I'm going to win it.
Well, here's what we do. So after you listen to the episode, we want you to tweet at the Dynasty Happy Hour account and let them know which team you think is the best out of the three of us. Tyler's going to cover Tim and his team, and I'll cover mine. But before we get to that, we are going to go over some news, some very notable things. First and foremost, DeMarco Murray decided to call it a career. So if you picked him in the Scott Fishbowl because your draft was going very quickly – yeah, it didn't work out.
A lot of stuff like that happened during the Scott Fishbowl draft.
That is very, very true. So DeMarco, I know, was picked in some leagues because everyone was assuming, like, oh, maybe he'll sign with Buffalo because, guess what, LeSean McCoy's in the news with accusations of all sorts of foul things. Yeah, so we don't know what's going on with LeSean McCoy. He hired a big-time lawyer, so that tells me, yeah, he might be in some trouble. And we're not going to tell you exactly, you know, everything. You can go on Google or Twitter and see all that stuff. But there are some pretty heavy accusations and things in the LeSean McCoy case. So we could have some a running back field up in the air in Buffalo. It might be Chris Ivory. And then people are like, oh, maybe they'll sign DeMarco Murray. Well, nope, that's not going to happen. LeSean McCoy was typically like a fourth round pick in the Scott Fishbowl. So everyone that picked him is like, great, he might not play this year. So we've got some news on that, so keep your eye on everything that's going on in Buffalo. And last but not least, Tyler wants to pound his chest a little bit. Le'Veon Bell, today was the deadline to sign the franchise tag to negotiate a long-term deal. He got offered 5 years, $70 million, and wouldn't sign it.
That's so crazy to me. So,
So now they're saying that, you know, he might sit out into the season. We've seen that happen before. You know, the Patriots with Logan Mankins, he sat out 10 games and then played. I don't know if Le'Veon Bell is going to do the same thing, but I'm telling you, if he's a top 3 or 4 pick and he ends up sitting out games, that is going to wreck teams. And Tyler, you said you had a gut feeling, so talk to me about this Le'Veon Bell situation.
It's just, you see a lot of the history with LeBell, and he's held out before. Yeah, he's been suspended, but I could be wrong on this. His holdouts have been like through the preseason, and then he's come in.
He's reported right before the season started.
Yes, yeah. So this could be a change. Maybe the history of it shows maybe his agent is going to be like, okay, you know, you should go out and play. Like maybe his agent pushes him to go play, just sign the tender, the franchise sign, and just
he's going to make $14 million this year if he plays. So it'd be stupid not to.
He passed up five years, $70 million. That is insane for a running back.
And it could have been something about the guarantees. Well, I don't know the details on it, but maybe the guarantees were low because of the position. So it could have been like 5 for $70, and they only guaranteed.
Yeah, that's very true. And yeah, like you said, the minor details we don't know about could be huge on why he didn't sign. But when you're going to be 27 years old next year, take the deal.
You just had 400 touches. Take the deal.
Take the deal.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So that's obviously a situation to monitor as well. The biggest, you know, if Le'Veon Bell were to miss games, there was a report today that James Conner looked great this offseason. So that would be interesting to see if he got the starting role. My boy Stephen Ridley's still there. Don't sleep. Yeah. Just kidding. And then obviously Jalen Samuels, who they drafted, who I think is a running back in the NFL and I think can do a lot of similar things to Le'Veon Bell. That would be a very interesting situation if Le'Veon sits out games to see how that unfolds, because that would be fantasy gold for anyone that maybe took a flyer on one of those running backs deep in a draft, or if you already own them on your dynasty squads like I do with Jalen Samuels. I own him in quite a few places, and I own James Conner in a couple too, so I really like him. So let's move on to some Scott Fishbowl 8. Tyler, your draft is wrapped up, isn't it?
Yep, we just finished today thanks to my phone feeling like it was hacked into and not allowing me to get in. I had to reboot it, and I was on the clock for the last pick, so that was great. Phones are very nice to have. We've grown with technology, but sometimes they're just assholes.
Yeah, technology, it's like, you know, with my car, it's great for you have like this keyless start and all this other stuff, but then when it doesn't work, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I feel you there. We are currently in round 17, pick 2. So I've got 6 more picks left in my draft. I'll obviously update you up until what I have now. And then Tim's draft, I think, is wrapped up as well, is not?
Yes. And the funny part about it is you say your draft is still going on. Remember how slow my draft was going at first?
It started at a snail's pace, and now you're done.
I think 2 days in, we were in the second round. It was slow. It was bad.
We've hit some. We had one of the guys time out today. Gabe, the FF man bun, was overseas in Austria, so he was a spotty Wi-Fi back and forth. I was in the ocean, so a couple of my picks were a little delayed. Nothing crazy, but you know the weekends are always tough. We'll probably pick up, and I bet we'll be done by the end of the week. But do we want to go over Tim's team first because he's not here?
We most certainly can do that.
And then we'll do mine, and then we'll wrap up with yours because it's supposedly better than mine.
Well, it's finished.
That's true. I get an incomplete grade. But if you like my team better than the boys, let us know. So what division was Tim in, and what pick did he have?
Tim is in FX Raffy division.
Oh, and Raffy Bomb, swim, stab.
He had pick 4.
Ooh.
Pick 4, Raffy division. And it looks like it was a lot of running backs. Pick 1, he took Le'Bell. So that might be the reason why Tim is not here. Maybe
Do we have to talk him off a bridge?
Yeah. Maybe Le'Bell is with Tim right now, and Tim's trying to talk him into signing that contract.
Maybe.
Or slap him up for not signing it.
Maybe they're hot boxing like an old Chevrolet Caprice in a parking lot. And he's like, dude, you got to sign this.
Maybe that. And maybe Tim is just there for like the cheesesteak reference, like showing him where to go. Because we all know Tim knows his cheesesteaks, but
he does know his cheesesteaks. Very true.
He took LeBell, then went Tom Brady, who was the third quarterback taken. And after Brady, he went Michael Thomas, wide receiver 7. Fitzgerald right after that at wide receiver 11. And going back to pick 4, sorry, I'm gonna rewind.
Let's do a button hook pattern super slow-mo.
That's the second Ace Ventura reference we've had tonight. We had one off camera, and now we have one on camera, so that's good stuff.
I'm holding another one just in case. If a certain verbiage comes up, I'll bust another one.
Hopefully Snowflake randomly comes up. But he could have taken Saquon at 4, but I think we all kind of figured the big 4 are probably the right picks. So with Tom Brady, he took him at quarterback. He was the third quarterback taken after Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. So second round Tom Brady. He passed up on Adams, Julio Jones, Jordan Howard, and Kelsey he passed up on.
Okay.
So that could be somebody that could come back to haunt him. He took Michael Thomas over likes of A.J. Green at wide receiver.
I don't mind that.
Yeah. And Fitzgerald, the next wide receiver after him was Baldwin and Mike Evans, about 4 picks right after Fitzgerald. So that seems like a good spot for Fitz.
Evans seemed to be really good value in the Scott Fish Bowl. A lot of teams I looked at, Evans was going pretty late.
Yeah. There's another player that we all have that was tremendous value in all the drafts, I feel.
Yes, I agree.
Jared Goff, quarterback 13. I thought that was a good pick. Somebody who could be a consistent guy. And Andrew Luck went right before him, and I think he was targeting Luck from our personal chat.
Yes.
Yeah, he was targeting Luck, and Luck went right before him. And I know he's a big Goff fan, so he pulled the trigger on that. And then 3 straight running backs. He went Kerryon at running back 27, Deion Lewis at running back 30, Duke Johnson at running back 35.
Wow.
What do you think of that? Those 3. He took Kerryon before a guy like Ronald Jones or Marlon Mack, or Royce Freeman, or even Lamar Miller. So he's taking a huge swing at Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, I probably would have taken Lamar Miller out of that group before Kerryon Johnson. I know Tim loves Kerryon, and in his so it's funny because we were chatting about the drafts in our Slack group, and Tim's draft was completely different than mine. Like, he's like, oh, we're on the board, and these guys are still available. And I was like, they're still available in that round? Like, these guys got picked in my draft like 2 or 3 rounds before. And I think that's one of the cool things about the Scott Fish Bowl is that every draft is completely different. And, you know, players are available. I was like, you got Jarvis Landry in like the 7th or 8th, and I got him in the 5th in mine because in my draft, like, quarterbacks and tight ends weren't flying off the board. So it was very much more like a traditional PPR scoring draft, mine was. So it opened up some value plays in the draft, which we'll get to mine in a few minutes. But yeah, I would have went Lamar Miller over Kerryon Johnson personally.
Yeah, and speaking of Landry, he got him in the 9th round, wide receiver 28. That is huge.
That's right. That makes me sick because I got him at the 5-5.
I got him in the 6th, I think, but we'll go back to that. But man, Landry in this scoring with the point per first down, I think 0.5 points per first down.
You know he's going to catch 100 balls. So
oh, he's going to be the go-to for Taylor or Baker for first down. Like, he's just going to run that cut, that button hook. So the next pick, he went your guy David Njoku at round 10, tight end 13. That's not bad at all.
That's
tight
not bad 13. Either.
And they went Tyrod Taylor in the 11th, getting that third quarterback to solidify his quarterback position. Nelson Aguilar at wide receiver 44 in the 12th. That is good value in my eyes. And then he went Ricky Seals Jones. Every time I see that, I just think of Seal.
And I'm in Kiss from a Rose.
Got him at round 13, tight end 22.
Ooh. Yeah, I was targeting the Seal Man himself, but he did not make it to me in mine. I was kind of bummed.
Another Tim special, Chris Godwin, wide receiver 57, round 14. Spencer Ware, who I feel is a target of all of ours, running back 55 in round 15. He took another favorite of mine, Dante Moncrief, wide receiver 66 in round 16. Speaking of 66, I just watched Great Outdoors, and I love that part.
That's the steak, right?
No, the 66 is the guy who got struck by lightning.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the steak was the 96er or the 86er?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. The bit, yeah. He's not done yet.
He's not, he's got the gristle.
And then he goes with another. This is a lot of Tim hits at the end. Gerald Everett, tight end 30 in round 17. Tywan Taylor, who Tim loves, wide receiver 75 in round 18. Cole Beasley, greatest NFL rapper alive, wide receiver 78 in round 19. Wow, Jalen Samuels at running back 75 in round 20. Goes and gets Blake Jarwin, who is a complete home run hit, at tight end 37 in round 21. That's a good swing. And then goes Adrian Peterson, running back 85 in round 22. So AP, definitely just a hope he signed somewhere like a DeMarco type pick before the whole DeMarco news came out. But what I think he had a solid draft. He's got a lot of swings. I will say that he's going for the big time, which is kind of what you have to do in Scott Fishbowl. You have to take big home run cuts.
Yeah, he took big home run cuts, and I think that I was dropping down sacrifice bunts in mine. I was just dropping bunts like Ichiro and just trying to hustle up the line to get to first base. And, you know, just, I don't know. I look back at my draft. I'm in the Jim Halpert division in office, division one, and I had the number 5 pick. You know, some of the notable people I've got Sal, not Salito, Sal, Stephanie from 2QBs. I've got him, Heath Cummings in there, Addison Hayes in my division. So there's, and some other great guys. Like the division's been really, really good. Gabe, obviously, the host of the Open Bar is with me. So we got that DHH connection in our division, which is really cool. So yeah, at the 1-5, I took Saquon Barkley. So to me, that's a little bit of a swing when you talk about a player that hasn't touched the field, you know, versus, you know, I could have taken Aaron Rodgers, one of the wide receivers, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, were the players that went right after Saquon. I was really hoping that Ezekiel Elliott was going to land to me at 1-5. I know he's a jerk and all after this weekend, but I was hoping that Zeke was going to land to me because I think Zeke's going to lead the league in rushing and having a phenomenal fantasy season. Part of me, you know, the Scott Fishbowl is for fun. I don't own Saquon Barkley anywhere, and I'm not going to have the opportunity to own him anywhere. So I was like, you know what? I can have him in Scott Fishbowl. That'll be fun. My fellow TFF Gurus host of Trophy Time, Josh, also took Saquon Barkley. He got him at 1-9, so we can be Eskimo brothers as we both root on Saquon Barkley this season.
I don't think you get the meaning of Eskimo
I do. I get the meaning of Eskimo brothers. It's like a sideways joke. So then at the 2-8, I came back and I grabbed Travis Kelce. He was the tight end 2 after Rob Gronkowski. You know, this scoring, you know, for the same reasons you want to get a good receiver in first downs and receptions and PPR is, you know, the tight end scoring gets extra bonuses for first downs and receptions. And Kelce is pretty much the steady Eddie of the tight end position. You know, Gronk is more of that home run swing that you talked about, but he went at the 2-1. So I was hoping that Travis Kelce was going to come down to me at the 2-8. I took him over Jordan Howard, Jerick McKinnon, Julio Jones, and Cam Newton, and Keenan Allen went right after that pick. So there were some definite options that I was looking at. I was kind of hoping Keenan Allen would make it back to me in the third round, which didn't happen, unfortunately. And in the third round, I was back up at the 3-5, and I took Tom Brady. So I got him at a better value than Tim did. He got him in the second round, and I got him as the QB4. So I was like, you know what? I think he's the safest quarterback in the league. He's got upside potential to be the number one scoring quarterback in this format. He's not going to throw a lot of interceptions. You get heavily penalized for interceptions in Scott Fishbowl. They're negative 4 points. And if you throw a pick six, it's negative 6. So that's no good. And that typically doesn't happen to Tom Brady. Only in the Super Bowl against those Atlanta Falcons. Right, Tyler?
You know what? I don't want to talk about that. I mean, it's been over a year, and you have no... I probably hear it once every 2 weeks, the same. And I had a friend tell me, oh, yeah, you know, you could be down by three and this happens. And he ruined the joke. I'm like, you know, we were down 28-3. Big difference. Yeah. Bigger lead.
Well, it all comes full circle on this podcast, though. So my Patriots beat your Falcons and Tim's Eagles beat my Patriots. So it's all a friendly circle here.
So
it's a circle of trust.
That means my Falcons will beat his
Eagles.
In the NFC Championship, and then your Patriots will then again beat my Falcons.
Oh, man. Oh. That would be like a crazy figure eight type of configuration. That'd be crazy.
That's like a...
All right, so anyway,
menage
so I took...
Trois.
Menage a three. So I took Tom Brady at the 3-5 over players like Zach Ertz, Joe Mixon. Deshaun Watson was the next quarterback off the board at 3-8. That's, you know, Gabe took him, and that's more of a home run swing where I was like, you know what? I'm going to take Tom Brady because he's safe. And I took him over Carson Wentz as well for the same reason. You know, I know what I'm going to get out of Tom Brady. There's not going to be any fall off. He wasn't hurt. We're good to go. So I took Brady at 3-5. I came back at the 4-8. We had a little bit of a quarterback run. We went from QB4 to QB10. And at that spot, I picked Andrew Luck because I thought, you know, if I can get two stud quarterbacks, you know, the last time Andrew Luck played a full season was 2016. And in this format, he was the number two scoring quarterback. So people forget that Andrew Luck scrambles for a lot of first downs. You know, he doesn't throw a ton of his interceptions. He throws more than Brady. But I took him one spot ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo and two spots behind Matthew Stafford.
That's so crazy to me.
So, yeah, the quarterbacks around him, Drew Brees went at 4-4, Stafford at 4-6. I took Luck at 4-8. Garoppolo went at 4-9. And then you had Patrick Mahomes at 5-3 and Matt Ryan at 5-4. So getting Andrew Luck there, mucho happy. I got my quarterbacks out of the way. Now I can focus on other positions, which was kind of my strategy going in, is to get quarterback out of the way if there was value there. If not, I was prepared to wait a while for my second starter. But when I saw Luck on the board, I had to pull the trigger. So we talked a little bit about Jarvis Landry. He was the wide receiver 19 in my draft. I picked him at the 5-5. I came back around in round 6 and drafted my second running back. And I got Sony Michel relatively late compared to where he went in other drafts. He was the RB26 in ours. So I got him.
That's good value.
At the 6-8. So I was pretty happy with that. You know, I'm not a huge Michel fan, but he's in an elite offense. And I think they spent a first-round pick on him, so I think he's gonna carve out a role. I took him over players like Greg Olsen, Mitchell Trubisky, Jameis Winston, Royce Freeman, Brandon Cooks were some of the notables that went right after him. So that made me feel a little bit better. And running back was a need that I had, only having Saquon going into the 6th round. Then I came back in the 7th round, and I drafted Golden Tate at the 7-5. And he was the wide receiver 23. And I like Golden Tate. He's not sexy, but he gets a lot of first downs and he gets a ton of receptions. You know, book him for 85 plus receptions every single year. So Golden Tate might not be sexy, but I definitely have a type at wide receiver with Jarvis Landry and Golden Tate. And another player I took here in a little bit. And I took Golden Tate over the likes of Jay Ajayi. Evan Ingram was still there in the 7th round, which was kind of a surprise in the tight ends premium. Tevin Coleman, Delanie Walker, Alshon Jeffrey, and then Kerryon was a 7-11. So I took him above all those guys, and I feel pretty good about it. Coming back on the 8th round, I'll speed up here a little bit. 8th round, I took Tariq Cohen, which for me was kind of a home run swing type pick. I wanted to get another running back. I took him over Julian Edelman, Trey Burton, Tyrod Taylor, O.J. Howard, Blake Bortles, Marlon Mack. So those names, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a little bit of a swing here on a guy that I like in an up-and-coming offense that I think is going to be really involved and could have some, you know, some really nice upside based on his draft position. You know, if he catches 50, 60 balls, maybe they use him as like a McCaffrey type, then this will be a home run pick if it pans out. So Tariq Cohen at the 8-8. Then I came back around the 9-5 and I got one of my guys. I picked Jamison Crowder. Again, with that wide receiver type, Landry, Tate, Crowder, slot receivers that are going to pile up first downs and pile up receptions. You know, they won't have big swings in the touchdown department. They won't touch double-digit touchdowns. But each of these guys could have 6 or 7 touchdowns apiece, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I think Jamison Crowder is going to be Alex Smith's blanket. He's going to find Crowder a lot. Crowder was a top 10 wide receiver the last 6 weeks of the season, and I think a lot of people forget that. And Alex Smith, he fits Alex Smith's game perfectly. So I think a healthy Jamison Crowder is going to bounce back big this year. And I got him as the wide receiver 32 in the 9th round, so I am very happy with that. I like Jamison Crowder to bounce back big time this year.
Yeah.
So then I went back to tight end. The tight end 14, I took my boy, All hail the Chief, David Njoku in the 10th round. So I got a little bit better value than Timmy did because the tight ends in this league weren't really flying. So I was able to get Njoku, and I picked him over Andy Dalton, Pierre Garçon, Ryan Tannehill, CJ Anderson, DJ Moore. So another kind of a home run swing for me on this pick. And plus, it's a guy I literally own in 95% of my dynasty leagues. So I was like, you know what? Might as well own him in Scott Fishbowl too. So I like Njoku. So what do you think of my team so far, Tyler? You like it or is it bad?
It's good. No, it sounds a lot like my team. Very safe. Looking at that first down scoring and looking at players that are going to get the short to intermediate routes and get those first downs, get that extra 0.5. And that's my thought too. So I'm right there with you. I like the team. I like the direction you're going in. You have a couple of home run swings, but that's what you need in Scott Fishbowl. You need to go for somebody who could be a Duke Johnson type and be a running back one.
So I took my next couple picks. So I took Isaiah Crowell in the 11th round, which I was like, why is Isaiah Crowell running back 43?
Wow.
I was like, okay, I'm going to take Isaiah Crowell because he's going to be the starter there. He's going to touch the ball probably 200 plus times. He's never been really hurt. So I was like, all right, give me the volume and give me Isaiah Crowell. I know it's not on a great offense, but I took him over. You know, there was a bit of a wide receiver run here. So it went Rishard Matthews, Cooper Kupp. I took Isaiah Crowell. Will Fuller was the other player I was trying to decide on. And then it was Emmanuel Sanders, Alan Hearns, Robbie Anderson, your boy Corey Clement, and then Calvin Ridley. But I went, again, with the sure thing, the guy that's going to get the touches, I think, and it's Isaiah Crowell. So I think that was a pretty safe pick, and I think that'll be pretty rewarding. And then I took a bit of a home run swing here in the 12th round. I took Dez Bryant. So he doesn't have a team. We all know that. But I took him as wide receiver number 50. So if he signs, like Dez Bryant would have been around probably 6 or 7 pick in this draft.
Oh yeah.
So to get him in the 12th, I was like, I'm cool with that. So hopefully he signs soon and doesn't retire or anything crazy. So then I added my third quarterback to the team. This is the unsexiest part of this draft for me. So in the 13th round, I took Joe Flacco, which you can laugh all you want, but in this format, that was actually a pretty good value. Quarterback number 29.
That's all the rookies are gone.
Yeah, well, actually, no. The rookies that were still available, Lamar Jackson went 4 picks later at 1309.
Okay.
And I wanted Baker Mayfield. I was thinking between Baker and him, and then Mayfield went 1406. So I took Flacco before either of those guys.
Okay.
I was hoping maybe one of the quarterbacks would make it back to me, but I was like, you know what? Flacco's going to be the starter. I don't think they're going to hand it over to Lamar Jackson. He's playing for a contract. He's going to play angry. And I looked how Joe Flacco ended the season last year, and he had like 4 straight 20-plus point scoring weeks.
Flacco is either going to come out and be in Joe Flacco that we know, not crappy Joe Flacco, but somebody who can be a good bye week fill-in, or he's going to just be terrible.
Implode completely.
Yeah, and Lamar's going to come in week 3. Like, yeah. Flacco has to play terribly to lose his job early. And I'm not saying it can't happen, because it definitely can happen. I mean, Flacco can go first game in and throw 4 picks, and the chatter already starts.
Yeah, and I took Flacco. There was a couple guys in this spot. I was looking at Ricky Seals-Jones as a target. Kenny Golladay was one that got picked after this pick. So I was kind of bummed. And Baker. So those guys didn't make it back to me. I was up again at 14-8, and I took my third tight end. So the unsexiest stretch maybe in the whole Scott Fishbowl is these two picks. Joe Flacco and Jared Cook back-to-back.
I had Jared Cook in my queue, and he went right before I picked. So I like that choice when you're thinking Jared Cook, because I think he could be a very sneaky tight end one this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not that difficult to be a tight end one. And I think Jared Cook, so the guys that went right after him, Cameron Brake got picked right after him, and so did Ben Watson. One of the guys I had on my radar was Tyrell Williams. I kind of really wanted him, but I was like, you know what? I think I can wait for him. He didn't make it back to me, unfortunately. So we had Tyrell Williams, Josh Rosen, Sam Bradford, Josh McCown in that stretch. So I'm pretty happy where I got Flacco, all things considered. And then Cook, you know, tight end was drying up pretty quickly. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get Cook, because I think, you know, he's old and crusty, but in that offense, I think he has some upside. And then, so I've got 2 more picks. The 15th round, I took Anthony Miller at the 1505 as wide receiver 58. So that's kind of a home run play. I think Miller, out of all the rookie wide receivers, is going to have the best results in his rookie season in that offense coming out of the slot. So I, you know, I'm like, you know what? I'll take a shot on Anthony Miller. Love the player. At this point in the draft, it could have some upside. And then I took at running back 60 in the 16th round, another one of my boys, Peyton Barber, was on the board. And I know that he's not going to catch a lot of passes, but he's a prime candidate because if Ronald Jones has hamstring issues like he did at the combine and everything else like that, Peyton Barber could do work. I loved what I saw for Peyton Barber last year. I took him over James White, which might surprise some people. Darren Sproles, Frank Gore went right after him, TJ Yeldon. This is a, I'm going to go get one of my guys because I think in that offense, I mean, outside of Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber, it's Charles Sims and hopes and dreams. So Peyton Barber could be the goal line back there. And if Ronald Jones suffers an injury, Peyton Barber could touch the ball 200 times, a lot like Isaiah Crowell earlier, and he cost me almost nothing.
Yep, and Peyton Barber, a good comp. The barber going to a hair barber. He is like the Sports Clips of running backs, where you just go, you get a quick, cheap haircut. He's not the fancy guy that you need to set up an appointment months before. I mean, he's the guy.
Just walk-ins are welcome.
Yeah, he's the guy that you just send your kids to, like, all right, $15, here you go.
Yeah, I love it. So, yeah, Peyton the Barber. Hopefully he becomes Peyton the Barbarian and scores me lots of points.
It could happen.
So, Tyler, tell me about your team. I'm interested to hear how good this team is.
All right, I'm in the Parks and Rec Ron Swanson 2 division. I'm with Tim Heaney, Scott Steiner, the zookeeper, Matt Price.
Oh, Matt Price.
Travis Rasmussen from Superflex Pod, Zach Grubel, Brad Hose, Mike Olivia, Eric Crane, a guy at Talk to the Brain, and Greg Sussman and Mike Krafik. I'm in their divisions. So I was at the 3 spot, and I didn't have to decide between Le'Veon Bell. He went right before me. I got David Johnson at running back 3. Loved the fact that he fell to me. I thought he was going to go 2, and I would have taken Elliott. So, you know, Price would have gotten him, but Price got Elliott. My next pick, Christian McCaffrey at running back 11.
Yeah, the 210. This was interesting because a lot of the drafts, I was talking to Josh when he was drafting his team. He's in the janitor division. And he was thinking about McCaffrey in the second round. He waited and actually got him in the late third.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, that's pretty good value. So McCaffrey was all over the board in Scott Fishbowl. He was one of the more interesting players to see the draft position.
Yeah, I think in this scoring, him and my next pick, Jerick McKinnon at running back 12, I got him in the third. Those two are just going to dominate this type of scoring. They're going to catch passes. They're going to get first downs. They're going to get rushes. They're going to get touchdowns. They're going to do everything. So I'm hoping the 3 running backs in a row strategy, and nobody else in my league did that. They didn't go three running backs. And Christian McCaffrey was the 11th running back taken. Jerick McKinnon was the 12th. So it was all tight ends, quarterbacks, and wide receivers.
So you were zigging while they were zagging, or however you say that?
Yeah. Yes. And then I saw value in Tyreek Hill at wide receiver 13 in round 4. I went him. He's my big play guy, guy I hope stays as that wide receiver 1 in Kansas City. And then I finally got my first quarterback in round 5 in Matthew Stafford. He was a quarterback 10 taken. I thought about Evan Ingram. I thought about going him, getting that stud tight end, but in a lot of leagues, I'm not like that. I like to just have a bulk of tight ends and just stream. Yeah. And hopefully I hit on somebody like a Jack Doyle a couple years ago, or Gary Barnage, somebody like that. Hopefully I hit on them. So I got Stafford there. I took him before Mariota and Jimmy Garoppolo, who's quarterback 12 taken in this league. So we had some smart people not overdrafting Jimmy G.
Right.
I got Stafford at quarterback 10. I like the consistency. I think he's going to do well in this type of
scoring. Yeah, I mean, Stafford in this format is going to be 300-plus points. Easy.
Oh, yeah. My next pick in round 6, Jarvis Landry, who we talked about with you. I got him around later, wide receiver 20. And then I snagged up my next quarterback in Derek Carr in the 7th round, quarterback 20. Quarterback 20 for Derek Carr.
That's crazy to me. I mean, I've never been a huge Derek Carr fan, but I mean, you can pretty much lock him in for 3,800 yards passing or more and then 25 touchdowns, I think.
Yeah. You, me, and Tim are all on Derek Carr this year just because the value is there.
Yep, absolutely.
So then my next pick was wide receiver 27 in Cooper Kupp in round 8. I like him because of the first down factor. I think he's going to be looked at, and you got to remember he had the most targets in the red zone, I think right next to Julio. It could have been one or two, but I'm pretty sure he's up there in the top tier, and Cooper Kupp dropped a couple of those balls, but Cooper Kupp has very good
hands. You know
what's
crazy? So in my draft, he went 11-04.
Wow. That's
It's just crazy to look at the ADPs of these different drafts. And nutty.
I took Cooper Kupp before Marvin Jones and Alshon, who I think will have a harder time. Will have a harder time in this scoring. Did
Robert Woods go after Cooper Kupp, or did he go before?
Robert Woods went after at wide receiver 35 in the 10th round. So a couple rounds after.
Gotcha.
And then I snagged up in round 9, Jack Doyle at tight end 12. I love that, especially with Andrew Luck coming back. I think Doyle's going to be a target when they need a first down, a guy who Luck will look to. And I think Doyle's going to smash in this scoring.
Yeah, I tried to get Doyle in mind to pair up with Luck, because then you think of like the premium scoring with Doyle and then you have with Luck. I was like, oh man, that could be a ton of points. And he got picked. I didn't swing big for him. Which, looking back, maybe I should have. But, yeah, I was looking to pair those two together because that would have been, a match made in point heaven.
In round 10, I took Emmanuel Sanders, wide receiver 36, hoping for that bounce back year, which I think will probably happen with Keenum. And then I took my backup tight end in round 11, and I took the upside of O.J. Howard at tight end 14. That was my home run swing, my home run ball. Hopefully it works.
Was it like a Bryce Harper home run ball?
Yeah, which just he won the
just
home
won
run
the derby.
Yeah. Congratulations, Harper. I love Harper, so I'm
he's a good player.
Happy for him. My next pick in round 12 was a bit of a reach in Josh Allen, but I just want to get my third quarterback out of the way.
He went at QB 33.
Yeah, quarterback 33, and I think that shows that people don't think he's going to start. Mm-hmm. And I think he has the easiest path to starting week 1.
Oh, he's got AJ McCarron and Nathan Peterman in front of him.
But hey, you heard the news. AJ McCarron, MVP candidate at the beginning of the year. The Bills think that.
The Bills are the Bills. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
And then I took another home run swing with Deonta Foreman at running back 49. I know the whole Achilles news is kind of clouding him right now. But there's light. You hear rumors that he's starting to come back from it. He's starting to do some running. So I like Foreman as a guy that comes in week 3 or 4 and just destroys. Like, he was doing very well before his Achilles just bursted.
Right. Yeah. Remember, he blew his Achilles on a touchdown run.
Yeah. And it was a huge touchdown run. I think he had 10 for 79 yards and 2 touchdowns that game.
He was looking really, really good, yeah.
My next pick was in round 14, Kelvin Ridley, wide receiver 57. You see a trend with my receivers, smaller guys that will probably get first downs. Kelvin Ridley, you had Anthony Miller around the same range as him, so yep. I like that value for Kelvin Ridley. My next pick was pick 15, Hayden Hurst at tight end 26. That's another home run swing. Somebody where, dear God, get another starting tight end. Maybe he actually, since he's 35 years old, you know, tight ends take so long. Maybe he's a guy that he doesn't need the years to produce because he's already, you know, aged well.
Yeah, we can have big celebrations when Joe Flacco throws those touchdown passes to Hayden Hurst.
The same age. My next pick at round 16, tight end 30, Luke Wilson, who is a Matt Kelly special. And I loved how Matt Kelly talked him up because that is a huge upside play. somebody that Stafford could look to. And hey, if Stafford and Wilson are connecting well, that's, like you said, double points and double huge points. Another player, Peyton Barber, I got at running back 63 in round 17.
Love it.
Here is my upside picks.
The home run swing right here.
Round 18, James Washington, wide receiver 72, right before Geronimo Allison and Quincy Enunwa, and right after Mohamed Sanu. And I love it. If he pans out to, if he turns out to be that Martavis Bryant role, I won.
Nice.
Round 19, I took Dante Moncrief, wide receiver 76, just because I love him. Round 20, I took Justin Jackson, running back 77, and that was based off of maybe my Melvin Gordon hate could maybe be true, and Justin Jackson, who's a guy I liked throughout the process, can come in and take over Melvin Gordon role if Gordon gets hurt or anything. So it's an upside play. He could be a guy that gets dropped for my free agent players. And round 21, I took Zay Jones because somebody has to catch the ball other than Big Benjamin. So yeah. I'm hoping Zay's got his life together. Hopefully he does, because that's more important. But Zay Jones, I hope he comes back, because I liked him through the process. He's a guy who caught my eye.
I traded him to you in a league.
You did. And that was a big reason why I accepted that. Just stay off the juice, man. Stay off the drugs. And my last pick, which I timed out on, thank goodness I had a pre-draft, but it didn't pick for me. It was weird because he was part of my pre-draft. At wide receiver 94 in round 22, Jermaine Kearse. That, he had a pretty good year last year. And
he was fantasy relevant last year, I agree.
And if McCown can stay healthy, McCown liked the throw to him, so... That is my Scott Fishbowl roster, and that is what you will see on the championship belt, is my name, my roster, and my glory. My three running backs taken in a row.
Oh, guess who's hopefully on the clock in Scott Fishbowl? It's me.
After you hear the rosters, you will have a live
pick. Oh, let's make a live pick. All right, so my last pick was Peyton Barber, like we talked about. A couple of the targets I was looking for just got picked in front of me. DeSean Jackson and Chris Godwin, two Tampa Bay receivers, just went right in front of my face. So hold on. Let me go up to the draft tab here so we can do this real quick. We still got some time, so let's do this. All right. I was talking about Josh Allen maybe at this pick.
Was he taken?
No.
Pull the trigger. I think Josh Allen is
I'm going to give you the best available. So we've got, well, according to ADP, which is skewed because of some of the dynasty leagues, but... You've got Cortland Sutton, Kalen Ballage, Dante Pettis, James Washington, Josh Allen, Martavis Bryant, John Ross, Antonio Callaway, Geronimo Allison. Shout out to Matt Kelly. Let's see. Let's get out of the rookies here. Quincy Enunwa, LeGarrette Blount, Dante Moncrief. I could probably get him in the next round because no one likes him except for you and I.
So far, Martavis Bryant and Josh Allen and James Washington are probably the three that have
Gerald Everett, Taywan Taylor. I can get those guys later. Zay Jones is still available.
I would say Allen.
He would be my QB4. So that's not terrible. Hold on. Let me see what other QBs. Let's see how bad the QB landscape is right now. All right. So you got Josh Allen, Teddy Bridgewater, Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, AJ McCarron, and then it's a bunch of guys with no ADP.
It seems like it's Allen.
I'm going to take a shot on Josh Allen here.
Hey, the big arm could pay off.
You never know. And now I'm protected if old man Brady if Luck can't get back on the field for whatever reason.
Hey, don't you dare put that on me. Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Don't you do it. All right, I like it. Now I can just focus the rest of my draft on maybe one tight end in the last five rounds and then just hammer wide receiver and running back targets that I like. So,
but man,
I like that.
Scott Fish, he built an amazing league. 900 people are in this league, and it still seems difficult to get into because it's like Matt Kelly on Sonic Truth said, you have such a demand that this thing is going to just populate more and more. And it's a thing that has done so much good for the Toys for Tots. And you can still donate to Fantasy Cares. anytime. Sign up for Scott Fishbowl 9, which I already have. So hopefully I can get into that.
I have to. I know he's got like over like
2,000. He's got over 2,000.
That's crazy.
And people are still drafting for this year's. So if you want to be in it, sign up now. And if you don't get in, just keep trying, man. That's all I got to say, because there's a lot of people that want to get into this. It's a
join a satellite.
Yeah, join a satellite.
Get you in.
And once you're in the Scott Fishbowl, it seems like it's easier to get back in. So if you join a satellite, you win it, and then you dominate the next year in the Scott Fishbowl, you could be a shoe-in for the following years.
Absolutely. I mean, he's raised over, everything that's included in the Scott Fishbowl, between the shirts, the satellites, the Podathon, which was phenomenal. I watched a bunch of hours on that. I think I hold the unofficial record of longest guest time on the Podathon. I was on for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. We didn't even really talk too much fantasy football, but those guys were like so toast at the end. We were just having some fun, and Scott jumped on with us, and it was really cool. But over $30,000, and there's still plenty of time to raise even more, which is absolutely phenomenal for Toys for Tots.
That's a lot of toys.
That is a ton. There's going to be a ton of happy children because of fantasy football.
A ton.
And that is
like Scott,
awesome.
Like Scott said on Sonic Truth, if you even donate $10, $10, he even said that is 10 Matchbox cars. Like that's 10 Hot Wheels. And that will make a kid happy. Like I collected a ton of those as a kid, and I played like car salesman. I was the best car salesman in the whole world. Man, brings back good memories.
Tyler's like, look at this El Camino with the yellow dirt bikes in the back. Who has yellow dirt bikes? I do. And that's why you're going to buy this El Camino. Oh, so that has been Dynasty Happy Hour this week. Shout out to Scott Fishbowl once again and all the greatness that he does. Everyone that's donated, bought t-shirts, all that stuff. Thank you so much for making it possible. And the demand, you can feel the swell of what next year is going to be like and how crazy it's going to be.
Huge.
It's absolutely going to be huge. It's awesome. Scott Fishbowl. We'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. I've been your host, Doug Eddie, with my co-host.
Don't forget to check out Trophy Smack in ECHH Ring.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.